Welcome to Thriving at the Beach podcast. I'm Peggy Masterson, and I am delighted to be your host. I am the director of the Partnership Grand Strand Foundation, and in case you haven't heard about us, we are the nonprofit foundation that is an extension of the Myrtle Beach Area Chamber of Commerce. Partnership Grand Strand was created by local businesses to serve local businesses, and we serve everyone across all 14 communities that we often and fondly call the Grand Strand. Our work puts us in a unique situation where we get the opportunity to collaborate and support many of the organizations that are busy building a better tomorrow in our area. This gives us a wonderful opportunity to collect the details surrounding these growth initiatives and then share them with you. That's really why we created this podcast. So let's dive right in. We're super excited today because our show is all about workforce and economic development resources in the Waccamaw region. And in case you don't know what the Waccamaw region entails, it includes Horry County, Georgetown County, as well as Williamsburg County. So a big piece of geography and a ton of resources. Our guest today is Rusty Gaskins. And Rusty, is the Business and Economic Services Manager for what's known as the Waccamaw Regional Council of Governments, lovingly referred to as the COG because it's quite a long title or quite a long name.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Rusty, thanks so much for joining us today. We're super excited to have you here and interested in learning all about what you do.
Yeah, thank you, Peggy. I'm so pleased to be here today, meeting with you and BJ to talk about the things that we do over at the COG, again, the Waccamaw Regional Council of Governments. I'm excited to share all the information I can with you.
Well, cool. Well, we're going to talk more about the COG in more depth and the initiatives that you have, but I first want to tell our listeners a little bit about you as an individual, because I think it's really important to know who the messenger is, right? So Rusty is a true South Carolina native. He was born in Lake City, South Carolina, and has spent the majority, if not all, of his career in this South Carolina area. He went to Francis Marion University for his undergrad and then went on to Clemson for his graduate degree.
Go Tigers.
You had to get that in there. I know. Rusty started his career in the mortgage business, and as the market took a turn, as we all know, in 2010 in there, Rusty had to go through the process, as many of us have, to reinvent himself, and that's what brought him into the role that he's in today. He's also quite a handy guy, and I feel like this is something that we could do a whole podcast on because it really interests me, but he is an individual that loves to renovate old houses. He's currently working on a project in Lake City, and that home will likely be listed on the National Historic Registry in the future.
It is listed on the National.
It is already.
Yeah,
awesome. That's so exciting. I could have a whole conversation with you about that because I think that would be amazingly fun. Maybe we'll have you back and we'll do that again. But, obviously Rusty has tons of knowledge and experience in his background in education. And I think maybe the most helpful thing as we kind of get started is for you to kind of walk our listeners through what is the Waccamaw Council of Governments and what exactly do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Waccamaw Regional Council of Governments, it's a mouthful, right? But that's okay. We do a lot of different things over there. People really are not familiar with us because, and there's a reason for that, it's because we are mostly serving local government. We are local government. So we are trying mainly to help out with our local municipalities, so the city and the county. They look to us a lot for assistance with many different things. It could be planning. So that's probably what we're most well known for is our planning department or transportation planning departments. With that, we we provide a lot of services. You know, a lot of small towns especially don't have a grants department. So managing some of these grants, whether it's a federal grant or a state grant that comes down, can be really difficult and strenuous for a small town. So we are lucky to have a staff, a skeleton crew, I guess you would say, but we've got some staff that can help out with that. So that's one of our main things that we help out with. And it's something that helps people day to day, and they just never realize it, which is good. We also have an aging department. So, and what I mean by aging, because I kind of hate that term, but we help a lot of our senior citizens in the area. So if you think about all the people that have moved here who may not have family, or maybe they don't have the means to get to their doctor's appointment or get to the grocery store, we have a team there that kind of helps them out with getting, whether it's a ride to the doctor's office or to get some of their daily needs. And also just going out to the nursing homes and making sure that patients are being taken care of, and making sure everything's going well on that end. In addition to that, we, part of the department I kind of work in a little bit is the Economic Development and Grants Department. So with that, we are working mainly, again, with cities and counties to see what their needs are, you know, or if there's some grant money out there, whether, again, if it's federal or state, you know, would that align with some of the projects that you're working on? Because if so, we can help write that grant for you. We can also administer that grant for you. So one of the big ones is EDA grant. So the Economic Development Administration, which is federal dollars. So that's a really big thing. And we can kind of help write those grants and, you know, bring those to the table and kind of help out different agencies or again, the city or county. You know, just an example of that and how it affects the community is, although we didn't necessarily write this, we did write a support letter for Ori Georgetown Technical College, who have built the manufacturing centers. They also built the International Culinary Arts Building. And those are things that they got funded partially from EDA grants, which is really cool to see in the area.
That is cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so
that's something your organization wrote the grant for and is managing?
I think we may have done some management on one of those grants years ago, but mostly we supported that. They're in the position that they can administer their own grants.
Surely.
So that's the path they chose to go with. But we typically would write a support letter. That would be one of the requirements for that. We do something called the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. It's a long word. We love acronyms in government. So that's something we have to rewrite every 5 years. And it's just a plan for economic development for our region. We write that every year. So that's something that that I help write. It's a lot of work to put that together, but it really is our plan forward, looking into the future. And that's something, so if a city, county, or, you know, even mainly like a large nonprofit or educational institution, they typically are the ones who would apply and are eligible to apply for EDA grants. They will have to look at that plan. They have to read through it, and they have to make sure that what they're doing aligns with what our plan is. And with, by doing that, they would, you know, then request support from us.
So that's great information to know. Where would folks find that plan in order to be able to see if something they're thinking about doing is aligned?
Yeah, you could visit our Council of Governments website, which is wrcog.org. Or just simply do a Google search, Waccamaw Regional Council of Governments, and it should pop up for you. We actually just revamped our website, so we're excited to get some more traffic, and you can kind of follow along. We're also on social media, so Facebook and LinkedIn gives you a lot of great information as well.
That's awesome. Clarifying question for me as I'm listening to you, and again, I'm learning about the COG every time we meet. I mean, I discover more things that your organization's capable of doing. You mentioned that you are the government. Can you explain, like, you ultimately work for the city or the county? Who funds the COG and all of the teams that work within your organization?
Yeah, well, we are considered local government on a regional, I guess from a regional perspective. We are quasi-governmental, so we have funding that comes in. It's mainly governmental funds, but we can also, we may have other like state funding. So it's just kind of like a mixture. So we can kind of, just depending on the department, depending on what we're working on, the funding might look a little different. And then lastly, and I know it's a lot of stuff that we do, and the thing I probably work most with UMBJ with is our workforce development programs. So we kind of oversee the SC Works offices in the three-county area, make sure that the partners are getting along there and that they're serving the community. And we manage a federal workforce development program, which is another long, you know, title, the Workforce Innovation and Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. We call that WIOA for short, and that's a great program that I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later.
Awesome. Wow, I'm exhausted just kind of going through all the detail that happens at the COG, and I think just from a bigger picture perspective, there are COGs all over, at least South Carolina. Is it also national? That structure happens in every state?
So every state has a council of governments. And I think they call them something different in some other states. In South Carolina, we have 10 council of governments. So we're kind of split up into regions. So just depending on where you live is who the council of governments that will be serving you.
Yeah, so awesome resource for anyone. Really,
absolutely.
I mean, if you're here, we know, or in the Waccamaw region, we know to reach out to you, Rusty, and to through your website. But it's also good to know that this organization is functioning in a similar capacity across the country. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Well, you have touched on some of the things that we had kind of planned to, I guess, review or take a deeper dive on in the podcast, and. I do want to mention I have BJ here with me, who is actually the individual that focuses on workforce and you guys work the closest with. Before I get into kind of some questions that I have on like your grant programs and this and that, I want to give BJ an opportunity to kind of talk to you a little bit about some of the initiatives that you're both working on and that the COG is driving in the workforce arena.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good morning, Rusty. Thanks for joining us. So, I'd love to talk to you more, or have you talk more about the Careers at the Coast, that initiative where we're all trying to work together in the same direction for workforce. Love to share your opinions on that and kind of the direction you think that should go in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. BJ has been, I talk to BJ probably on a weekly basis at the very least. And I think going back, like a year and a half ago maybe, we were talking one day and you know, the thing about workforce, and I'm sure you see it with Partnership Grand Strand on your end, but through the SC Works offices, we constantly have people calling, whether it's a business owner or a job seeker, and they're asking about all these job fairs. Well, you know, we do produce our own hiring events, and we kind of help that out or help plan other events with companies, but not every single employer out there tells us about their job fair. And so we didn't really have a single source of finding out what's available. And so me and BJ were talking, we're like, why don't we just come up with a community calendar? And, you know, through government, it gets a little limited as to what we can do and hosting websites and calendars and things. And you guys were so kind to offer that space for us on your website. So now the public can go to Partnership Grand Strand and look on the calendar and see what job fairs are being planned. And we try to share that information constantly. I know you get Jared's emails every week. So so we do a great job with that. And we're very thankful for that partnership. But then we've continued. And now, and this is really BJ kind of put this together. You know, you put a team of partners, you know, and I hope I don't miss anybody, but you know, we've got the technical college, we've got of course SC Works and Department of Employment and Workforce, and building talent
foundation
Goodwill.
Yep.
And have I missed anybody?
Apprenticeship Carolina.
Apprenticeship Carolina and the Horry County School District.
Yes.
So bringing that whole group together and saying, hey, let's stop working against each other. Let's start working together. You know, we all have our goals that we have to meet. We can't work together 100% of the time. But I think just coming together and coming up with this new job fair series that we're going to do, I think, once a quarter, called Careers at the Coast. You know, it's a great way to kind of showcase some of the employers in the community and put these job fairs on the map. So hopefully in the future, people will know about these events and can plan for it on an annual basis.
Yeah, I think that's really important to say the planning piece, you know, feedback that we got. And I know you probably get the same feedback with the large amounts of hiring events that happen in our community and just trying to consolidate and making it more flexible for the employers, but also more obtainable for the job seekers. They know when to show up and where to show up. And I know you guys do a great job of hosting those events out of the SC Work Centers and across the county. So thank you for what you guys do on that. And just really to piggyback off of that, can you talk a little bit more about the hiring event that you guys coordinated with International Paper, if you don't mind? I know a lot of folks have asked about, you know, how can they support those guys and what's happening to support that community. Would you mind just sharing just a couple nuggets on what's happening in Georgetown?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we support is any type of closure. If you're a mom and pop business with one employee and you have to shut your doors, we want to know about it. And if you're a large employer with, you know, nearly 1,000 employees or whatever the case may be, of course, we want to know about that too. And on October 31st, 2024, we unfortunately got the call about International Paper in Georgetown. That company has been in place for about 80 years. So it was very devastating to hear that closure with really zero notice. It was a big deal. As you can imagine, you know, the city and the county came together in a bit of a panic. You know, what is this going to look like for our community? And so our role in that is to really help these employees. These people have been working for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years at this company, and they're now being let go. What can we do to help them get back into the workforce and kind of transition? So we immediately went to work with putting together a job fair, which was initially private because International Paper wanted us to host on their site. So we were able to go and bring together, gosh, I think we ended up with over 50 employers that we did specifically for their employees. And if you're not familiar, they had between 500 and 700 employees that were being let go. So that was a huge success. It was a big start to kicking off, you know, those goals of trying to get those employees thinking about what they want to do, what their next step was going to be. We have continued to do a couple of other hiring events for them. We did another one on site that was smaller. And then we just had one, a few weeks ago in Georgetown. And we're able to host that along with Horry Georgetown Technical College, as well as Goodwill. So again, we try to bring those community partners together because that's the great thing about this area. Everybody wants to work with each other, and we could not do it without community partners, you know, like you guys and other nonprofits and educational facilities out there. They all want to help. So we're able to kind of pull that together and have a nice event. I think we ended up with around between 130 and 150 people attending that one, which is a good turnout for Georgetown. And that one was open to the public.
Awesome.
I love those two examples because what it's saying is how powerful collaboration can be. You know, and part of our role at PGS is to try to convene the right parties around opportunities that everyone agrees need to happen.
Right.
And sometimes it just takes one person to take the initiative, as BJ's done, to get the Careers at the Coast going. Everybody's willing, but sometimes it just takes that one person or organization to kind of raise their hand and say, well, okay, let's do this. So, and I love that example about the impact you're having on the local community with International Paper. I think those kind of examples help people understand more about what the COG is, mm-hmm. and how valuable it is to our community. One of the things I wanted to shift gears on a little bit and talk about is this notion of grants and grant management. Can you tell us a little bit about, I know you mentioned that folks that are interested in grants need to, their initiative needs to align with your master plan, but walk us through, if you would, say I'm a small business or I'm a nonprofit and I feel like I'm aligned, I've done my work. Walk us through the steps and what that could potentially look like for either a nonprofit or a small company.
Okay. So typically the grants that we would work with would really be for nonprofit or like a city or county.
Okay, so no private businesses.
So no private businesses.
Good clarification.
Yeah, okay. We do offer some loan programs for small business. Which we can talk about a little bit later. But so if you have a project, you kind of read through our SEDs and you're thinking, hey, what I'm planning really looks like it aligns, then you would just give us a call and we would put you in touch with our regional person for that federal grant program. And we just have a call. We have a conversation. And she's been great. She's very knowledgeable, and she would let you know right up front if she thinks it's, you know, a great project or if it's going to be a waste of time or, you know, what can you do to maybe tweak it to make it better align with the grant, because it is a competitive grant and we're competing against, you know, all other states for that. Now, we do sometimes have special grants that come into play, which I think I'd mentioned earlier just in conversation. Whenever we have hurricanes and natural disasters, we hate those. We don't want those. However, sometimes that does provide us with additional funding that can help us become better prepared for the next event. So we look at that, and that can mean workforce. I think that's one of the ways that we got the manufacturing centers, because we were so reliant on hospitality that years ago we had a series of hurricanes coming through, you know, and hospitality workers were out of work for a while. So by diversifying the economy and bringing in manufacturing centers, we can train more people. We can hopefully attract more businesses to locate here or to expand here. And we know Sandy Davis and all of our economic development partners are working hard on that.
Yeah. Again, another example of being that supportive arm to nonprofits and to initiatives that are going to impact the long-term growth of our community.
Right. And then we also have, we do have some grants from time to time that come up. You know, and I mentioned we don't really work with private as much. We do occasionally have some funding that may align with the private business if they're sort of coordinating with the city or county. Mm-hmm. And kind of an example of that might be through our SCBES, which is the South Carolina Brownfields Environmental Site Testing.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm surprised they even remember that. and we're kind of closing that out for now, but that was like a statewide initiative, kind of partnered with the Department of Environmental Services, which used to be called DHEC. So trying to remember that acronym now. But with that, we had funding to kind of help pay for an environmental site assessment, typically a phase one, where, you know, a small business could have done that depending on what the purpose of that project was going to be, like how it was going to be developed and what their plans were. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not a business, one exciting thing, we did that for the city of Conway. So if you're familiar with the old Granger plant site, yeah, that Santee Cooper currently owns, there is a plan in place to hopefully get that land transferred over to the city for new development. And as you know, coming through Conway, that's a gateway to the Grand Strand, really. So everybody passes that plant site, which is, of course, just rubble and land right now, right, essentially. But we hope one day to see that thrive and become a center of commerce.
And I'm sure it will.
It will.
Well, awesome. So you also have talked a little bit about the WIOA program, but could you elaborate just for just a few minutes in terms of exactly what that is and how it impacts our community?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, we call it WIOA, or sometimes we just call it WIOA, whatever the case may be. This is a great way for people to obtain training. So we try to meet people where they're at. You know, so some people come to us who they may have just moved to the area. They may have just gotten terminated from their job. Maybe they just graduated from high school, or maybe they dropped out of high school and they don't really have a plan yet. Maybe they were dislocated from their job, much like our friends over at International Paper, where they, you know, was it their fault? They were just laid off and the plant closed. Whatever the case may be, people can come to us for help. We have about 40 courses of study that we can assist with paying for tuition on. And typically that means anything from short-term training all the way up to an associate's degree. So it's a great deal. I mean, we train a lot of CDL drivers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thinking back, especially from the pandemic time, there was such a need for drivers, and there still is today. We're kind of short on drivers. So that's aligned with our program. It's in demand. That's what we focus on, is our in-demand occupations, not just in South Carolina, but for specifically our region. And so we train people for that. That's a big one. Nurses. Y'all, we train so many nurses and help so many nurses in our area, which is, of course, we never have enough nurses. And so that's a huge thing. But it's a great way for someone to come into the program, take advantage of the training. They don't have a loan to pay back. That money is, you know, it's free to them. And we support them also by reimbursing them for mileage back and forth to class. We also will pay for their books. And if they require any uniforms, we will help pay for that as well. So it's such a great way to get that training and then hopefully get to work and become a productive person in society and earn money, which is what it's about too, right? So it's life changing, honestly.
Yeah.
And and we have those that want to come in and go to school. They need that training, while others are, you know, they don't have time for that. You know, maybe they have a family to support and they have to get to work right away. So for that, we offer on the job training contracts that we do with employers. So we try to match up job opportunities with these participants in the program, and we can essentially pay that company to train this individual while they're working. So they're earning money and they're getting training on the job. So it's sort of a win-win for both us and the employer and the participant.
That's amazing. Now, when you say you do the training, is that in partnership with, say, you know, Ori Georgetown Tech, or is that something that you and your staff personally take on? How does that training in the WIOA program?
Yes.
I have to stumble through it, but yes, how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we are not out there training. We're not training on CDL or nursing, so everybody should be very thankful for that. but we do partner with educational training providers in the area. They, you know, any training school out there can apply to be a training provider, and we would set up an account with them and work with them. But yeah, Ori Georgetown Tech is probably our number one training partner. We've also worked with Professional Medical Training. We've worked with Miller Mott in the past when they were here. And there are several smaller schools that we work with. But yeah, Ori Georgetown Tech is probably the biggest. They have the most training programs, at least specific to Ori County.
Yeah. So say, for instance, I'm a recent high school graduate, let's say, and I think I want to be a nurse one day. Mm-hmm. How would it just be a simple phone call for me to reach out to you or someone at the COG to explore taking advantage of this program? What is the process for getting folks connected?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a couple different things that you could do. One, you could visit the SC Work Center closest to you. We have an office in Conway, which is right behind Horry Georgetown Technical College. So we're kind of right on the campus there. We also have a location on Church Street in Georgetown and a location on Martin Luther King Avenue in King Street. So you can visit any of those SC Work Centers and request information about WIOA, or just go in, if you don't remember WIOA, just say, hey, I want to go back to school, I want to be a nurse, and they will try to connect you to a career specialist.
That's perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's cool. The career specialist will kind of hold your hand and guide you through that process. It is, you know, we are government. You know, government's not known for being super streamlined with paperwork, right? But we do our best just to streamline that for you. It is a program that people have to apply for. And there are many different ways that you may qualify. I typically say about 75% of the people that we come in contact with do qualify for our program. But we try to make that as quick as possible. And a lot of that depends on the individual, you know, how quickly can they obtain documents? We have a lot of people that move here, you know, obviously from all over the place. And, you know, we might need a copy of their high school diploma, and that diploma might be in an attic somewhere in Massachusetts. You know, and so we have to kind of work with people and, to get that done. But yeah, come into the SC Work Centers, they can do it that way. They can also visit our website, WaccamawWorks.org. So that's a little bit different than our COG site. But this is specific to workforce because it is, there's so much that surrounds that. And they can go there and watch an orientation video, which gives you like a 10-minute spiel, much better than what I'm doing here with you today. But it kind of explains the program. And there's a nice little form on there that you can fill out if you're interested. And that email comes directly to me, yours truly, and I will get that forwarded out to our team, and they would give that person a call.
Awesome. So we'll be sure to attach those websites in our show notes. So we'll make sure that we've provided a link for anyone that's listening so that it'll make it as easy as possible for you to actually connect with these resources.
Perfect. That would be great.
BJ, do you have any other questions? I know you had a couple up your sleeve that you wanted Rusty to speak about.
Absolutely. So I know a topic, a workforce pipeline that's not talked about very much is second chance employment. And I know the COG and Department of Workforce both provide support in those avenues. So would you mind just kind of sharing about some of the work you do in that space?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, having a second chance employer is so important. There are so many people who have made maybe a wrong choice, you know, once in their life, and it kind of follows them the rest of their life, unfortunately. So individuals who may have made a mistake or, you know, served time in prison, they sometimes think, oh, we're going to be excluded. Like, WIOA would never accept us. That's not the case. Like, we want to help you. You're one of our target audiences. We want you to come in so that we can help. So that is one thing that's almost like an automatic qualifier to come into our program. So so any individual who has a background can come to us, and we can try to help them. We can send them back to school and pay for that tuition. We can also help them with on-the-job training. We also do have some money for what we call paid work experience, where, you know, especially for our younger individuals in that maybe 16 to 24-year-old age group, they have little to no work experience. And so we try to place them on a job site, and we'll pay them, you know, a stipend, just kind of give them something to put on the resume, give them a little bit of experience, and help them out. We do also put them in contact with our friends over at the Department of Employment and Workforce, who is another partner resource. They're in the SC Works building, and they can do these federal bonding letters, which is a great insurance policy and is helpful for an individual who's seeking work. So they can get that letter. Typically, they get several letters, and they can take that to an employer and say, you know, here, I've done my homework, and I know that I made a mistake, but here's like an extra insurance policy that's going to protect you for at least, you know, $10,000 or $20,000. You know, it's just another incentive for them to take another look at that individual.
And so that insurance is, just to be clear, is for the company?
For the company, yes.
So if they are willing and open to taking on second chance employees, they could not only find them through you, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But they would also be able to get the benefit of kind of that safety net, if you will, if anything should go awry via this insurance.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the employer, you know, speaking to the employers out there too, if you are a company that you do like to hire and give a second chance to someone, and there are a lot of companies out there who do that, you know, and you want to be helpful, but you're still not sure, and maybe you have to convince your manager to go with that. You can send these individuals to our office and we'll give them that letter. So that's an extra layer of protection for them. Another great way we have worked with individuals with second chance, or who need a second chance. We've had a really good program. It's been a while since we worked with them, but the Georgetown County Detention Center, their reentry program, they did a great job. I think they had an apprenticeship set up for HVAC, so heating and air, and they were completing their training. And once they got released, they had already come through us, and we would have a job set up for them and would set it up as on-the-job training. So they were able to get released and within a week or two have full-time employment.
Wow, I love that.
So, yeah, it's just the perfect way. And in addition, and BJ, you may be taking part of this too. I think with the Department of Employment and Workforce and all of our SE Works partners, they do go into the prisons and try to educate, whether it's resume writing or interview workshops. But they're trying to get to those individuals who are about to be released, and because we want them to get back to work and we want them to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have covered a lot of ground today in a short period of time, and I so appreciate your explaining everything so beautifully for us, because it is complex. But I think the one takeaway that I think I am gonna walk away with, and maybe the listeners as well, is there are incredible resources through this Council of Governments.
Absolutely.
That folks may not be aware of. And we encourage you, Partnership Grand Strand encourages you to make sure that you check out these links and that you explore all of these additional programs. And, you know, the work that your organization is doing fits this podcast so well, because it is a behind-the-scenes kind of effort that you're putting forth, but yet it's making strides and it's creating positive momentum that will drive our long-term prosperity. So on behalf of Partnership Grand Strand, we thank you and your team for all of their efforts.
Yeah, thank you, Peggy and BJ. It's great to have you as community partners. We look forward to working with you. We've been working with you and look forward to working with you even more.
Awesome. And one last question as we wrap up, Rusty, is we always kind of close the podcast asking our guests about how they feel about the future of the Grand Strand area, in your case, the Waccamaw region. And I especially love it when I get an opportunity to talk to someone like yourself that's been in this area for a long time. I'd love for you to share, if you would, kind of your perspective on what did this area look like 10, 15 years ago, and what changes have you seen that would kind of formulate your opinion of what the future holds?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yeah, I mean, growing up, I grew up in Lake City. I did live in Myrtle Beach for a while, but most of my life has been in the Lake City area. And I can remember coming here for, you know, summer vacations or spring break, or, you know, just for a weekend getaway. And, way back, I'm not going to say how old I am, but way back then, lots of trees, right? Lots of natural beauty, which we still have, but just very quiet, to be honest. It was nice and peaceful to go to the beach. I only thought of this as the beach. Having lived here and seeing it from this perspective now, we are not just a beach. You know, we're not a beach town anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we have beautiful beaches, but not just the beach. So it's nothing but growth. I mean, gosh, I mean, everywhere you turn, something's being built. It's coming. And I think that's the great part, or the fun part about my job, is I get to see that not only in real time, but I can see some of the planning that goes along with it. So, you know, some of the comprehensive plans that that the COG office has helped work with, you know, local towns with, it kind of lets me see, opens my eyes really, and lets me see what's coming. And, you know, one of the things that we keep talking about now is, you know, we're about to have the largest population of any county in South Carolina, which seems unreal, you know, when I think back 20, 30 years ago, but that's where we're at now. So, so many needs, so many great positive things are happening in downtown Myrtle Beach that I'm excited to see to come to fruition. Conway is just growing. Loris is growing. Every community is growing with people. So we're excited about that. And for us, it's trying to figure out what is our workforce going to look like? So we are trying to push ahead and develop these partnerships with our industries and create clusters of industries. So we just successfully wrapped up our first year with manufacturing partnership, where we can learn more. How can we support that industry in our region? And the next two on the horizon, so for those listening, you know, healthcare and hospitality, we'll be reaching out to those groups for the future soon. And I don't think it's going to be very long. It sounds like technology is really trying to take off here in our region too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a big partnership that we have to come up with pretty soon as well.
So the momentum is high. And the outlook is positive, it sounds like.
Very positive and keeping us busy, that's for sure.
Well, Rusty, we can't thank you enough for spending time with us today and sharing all this amazing information. We would love to have you come back and continue to keep us updated on initiatives that your organization is working on. So feel free to give BJ or myself a call anytime.
Absolutely.
And we, as PGS, we deeply appreciate your partnership as well. It goes both ways.
That's
so
right.
We thank you for that. And I think that's a wrap for today's conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much. You have a great afternoon.
You too.